Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
HeadCheck Health bridges the gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like Canadian Football League, Trek Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more.
Hi, everyone. I'm Allie.
And I'm Felicia, and we're the co-founders of the Keep Your Head Up Foundation. Today, we have a special guest.
My name is Sarah, and I'm an occupational therapist and also a volunteer with Keep Your Head Up.
So we're really excited to have Sarah Schultz with us today. Sarah is a registered occupational therapist who practices here in Ontario. And Sarah also volunteers with our foundation. And recently, we all worked together to come up with a new tool. And it's a wellness plan that is brain injury recovery to find different ways to keep supporting their mental and physical health while they're going through recovery. So before we go into why we created it, how to use it, and why it can be helpful, I'll just kind of paint a picture of what it looks like for those of you that maybe don't have it up in front of you. So basically, imagine that you're looking at a week at a glance. So from Sunday to Saturday, from left to right across. And under each day, there are five categories of different types of activities that you would aim to do each day. So the first one is move. Then there is connect, followed by enjoy, achieve, and self-care. So we'll talk a little bit more about what all those categories mean, but essentially it's a way to plan out your week in a way that allows you to try to check off each of those categories every single day. So I'll turn it over to Sarah, who's going to explain a little bit about what inspired this wellness plan and how it can be helpful.
Yeah, so I work with a lot of clients who've had brain injuries. Predominantly, my caseload is people who've had severe or mild traumatic brain injuries. And so when I'm with a client, I've noticed a lot of the times that they kind of have been struggling to find things to do throughout the week. And so we created this wellness plan that's based off of behavioral activation. And behavioral activation is kind of this theory or this concept that we use in OT as a way to get people to get motivated to do things throughout the week. It's used for a wide range of diseases and disorders. A lot of people use it for mental health, but I saw it was kind of, there was a really good area that this could be used for in with brain injury. So behavioral activation is kind of just the most basic way to put it is just finding things that are positive for you to do throughout the day. So we kind of built it off of this. And so what the what our wellness plan is finding little things that are positive for you to do throughout the day. And that also gives you a way to schedule your week or schedule your day to look forward to things, because sometimes when you're feeling less motivated or when you have a brain injury and you're having troubles with scheduling, this can kind of help you bring out what exactly you need to do, what you want to do, what's going to help you, what's going to make you feel good, and kind of give you kind of a sense of purpose as well. So that's kind of where behavioral activation and the wellness plan that we created comes from.
Yeah, and I think when I look back to especially the first few months of my concussion recovery, as someone who is really type A and suddenly didn't have anything on my day-to-day plate, I really wish that I had something like this to just kind of fill in my planner and give me a little bit of direction for how I could spend my day, and to have different ways that I could take care of my health, even with all the limitations that my concussion added onto my life.
Yeah, I feel like this tool would have been really beneficial, because I know a lot of the recovery, you know, you are struggling with like goal setting and trying to do little things throughout the day that kind of give you purpose or feel like give you purpose. And this tool, like, you know, doesn't have to be something from the Achieve section. Like, you don't have to, you know, do laundry or, you know, read a chapter of a book. It could be something as simple as, you know, connecting with a friend that day, and that really gives you a sense of well-being. Like, it made me feel like, you know, you're doing something, and it makes you feel like good, you know. Sarah, can you talk to maybe about how you've seen it benefit clients?
Yeah, I can give an example that I've used it with a client, actually. They had a traumatic brain injury, and they were about, I think, 4 or 5 months post. And so they were having a lot of difficulty, and I've kind of talked about before in my blog post just about mental health and concussion and how they're really interrelated. So he was having a lot of difficulty with planning and motivation, a lot of issues with self-initiation, and was really struggling throughout the day, was waking up at like 2 o'clock and then wouldn't go to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning. And so we kind of implemented this because they wanted to get back to work as well. So we kind of put this back in first, and it had really good effects. He like was talking to me about it. We kind of scheduled it, and I always educate my clients also too, and kind of what you were saying, Felicia, on that it's okay if it's not the biggest goal. Like, it doesn't have to be something huge. Like, you don't have to go and finish all your homework or all of a sudden go out and run 10 kilometers if you've never done that before. Like, it doesn't have to be something you haven't done. Even just small, tiny, little goals that you know are going to make you feel good make a really big impact. So we started that out with him, and it ended up being really positive. Like, he still uses it. We kind of also said there was like some leeway too with it, because sometimes he found he couldn't find something for each and every single day. And we said that was okay, as long as some parts you were finding something throughout the day, finding something that you're going to find that that's a positive thing that you did. So he still uses it. It kind of was really good to transition him into a larger schedule, which is what we started doing. And then we started transitioning for when he goes and returns to work, and he's done that so far. And so, yeah, so it has a really good impact, and it's also a really good way to kind of just start to introduce scheduling, because after brain injury, I'm sure you both know too, you both experienced it a lot of the times. Either the conception is to sit around and do nothing, or you just feel like sitting around and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And so this is just a really good way to kind of introduce more scheduling so that you can get back to doing something before that you were doing, like homework or school or work and things like that.
I think another really great win about doing the wellness plan is just how much it can help with the way that the day is kind of all blend together. I know Felicia and I have both talked about how we experience that, and it's something that we hear from a lot of other people in the brain injury community. And for those who are listening who maybe haven't had an injury themselves, but certainly in the last year with the pandemic, we've all kind of experienced what it's like to be stuck at home with a limited array of activities to go and do. So something like this can really help to just give you a little bit of direction when there's not a lot of options for you, and help to inspire new ways to kind of nourish your mental and physical health while you're at home or while your options are quite limited. Do you want to add?
Yeah. So Ali, you talked about part of when you did the wellness plan. Well, we just actually did a wellness challenge this past week. Now we challenged our Instagram followers to, do their own wellness plan and wellness challenge and see how that goes throughout the weekend. It was so interesting to see how everyone was doing with that. We were doing polls and seeing, what was hardest for you to achieve or, what was easiest for you to get done within the day, like the enjoy section or the achieve section. And Ali and I were talking and she pointed out that, she doesn't enjoy the rigidity of planning and like having, her whole wellness plan like set out for the week. Whereas when she told me that, I was like, oh my goodness, like that is so opposite from me because I have to have that because I like right now I'm in school full time and placement. I have a lot on like the plate. And if I don't make time for myself and my, like I push through my symptoms and I push through how I'm doing. And if I didn't, make that schedule and make that time for myself, I wouldn't make that time. So having it all planned out is what I had to do. And I don't know, it was just interesting to see the difference of how both Ali and I like approached the wellness plan. And that's just like me and her. I couldn't even imagine how like everyone else approached it. Like Sarah, how did you approach like the week?
I definitely took a more, well, it's kind of funny. I guess I was kind of in between because I wanted to schedule everything out and I did. And I think I like posted to my story and I was like, this is what I'm going to do this week. And then when it came to it, I didn't stick to it. I just like still did I still did the things that I wanted to do, but I felt like I don't need to do this today. Like I want to do this tomorrow. And like little things like that. And even my mom pointed out to me at one point, she was like, you're supposed to go shopping with me. And I was like, oh, well, like I have other plans going on. Like that was one of my things. So like I found if I were to do it again, I wouldn't be as rigid in it. I think my plan would be like maybe the night before or two nights before, maybe plan out what I want to do the next day, but not have the whole week planned out because I personally didn't stick to it fully. I still did everything, but I just didn't stick to what I wanted to do. So that was fun.
Yeah. I was very similar to you, Sarah. Like I found it really helpful to use it as more of like a guide for my week where I took time at the beginning to brainstorm different activities that I could do to fulfill each category. But because I find that I don't necessarily know how I'm going to feel at different points of the day or like even day to day, like I don't necessarily want to choose my move activity before the day comes and I know what my energy level is like. And what's different about the wellness plan is that like before I might say, oh, I'm going to work out every single day this week, but then the day comes and I'm not up for a workout. But that doesn't mean that I don't have to not move my body altogether. So for me, it's helpful to kind of brainstorm a few different activities for each section every week. And ideally, they're at different kind of like levels of energy so that when the day comes, I'm still mindful that I'm trying to cover all my bases to nurture different parts of my health. But I'm not tying myself down to one thing and then feeling guilty if I'm not up for that. And Sarah, as an occupational therapist, you might have some thoughts on what that has to do with like goal setting and managing your energy levels, because to a certain point I think sometimes like it's easy for me to make excuses for myself. Like it's easy for me to wait until I'm feeling better to go and do something that's a little bit out of my comfort zone. So what are your thoughts on like using it Felicia's way, where she would schedule the activities down to the time of day and what she was doing versus the way I would use it? Like, are there any pros or cons to using it in those ways?
I think there's definitely pros and cons to both. I think at the end of the day, it's the person whatever's going to stick with the person the most, that's what you should be doing. Like, personally, like, I know, I kind of think of things like journaling. Like, I cannot journal to save my life. I can't do mindfulness. I cannot journal. I could try forever and ever, but I can't do it. And at the end of the day, it doesn't work for me. But I find other things that work for me that kind of give me the same kind of relaxation. It's the same principles here. If you're going to schedule out your whole day and make it very rigid and that's what's going to work for you, then that's great. But then also knowing that you have to have some sort of kind of leeway or some sort of ability to be able to change it, not making it so rigid that you're following the schedule to an absolute T every day because you feel like you're pressured to, but more so doing it because you feel like it's going to help you. It's providing that little bit of structure. It's kind of influencing your day.
Yeah, I think to add to that, like, I think it's the structure part that, like, I need. And that's, like, perhaps, like, yeah, maybe it wasn't the week that I, like, planned out. It's even just, like, Sarah, you kind of said, like, 2 days. But it's just knowing that, like, you know, I follow an agenda. Like, I'm very, again, like, type A, like, very, like, busy, like, structured, organized. So, like, I think having and knowing, like, okay, like, I have this and this to do tomorrow, but, like, making sure that I had those like events from the wellness plan like laid out, knowing that okay, I'm going to make time for myself and like not put myself second kind of thing, like making sure that like the wellness plan was a part of my day and structured into my day, because it's honestly the most important, like the most important thing, in my opinion.
And then also to add on that too, it's important to know like that the wellness plan, it's great for like short term and to get you start to moving and stuff again, but the hope is that you take these principles you learn and kind of put this into your everyday life, so it becomes second nature for right. You to kind of always be thinking about yourself rather than just, because a lot of us, even I don't even think about myself all the time. I've thought about myself this much in forever, right? So it's all about really getting yourself, really thinking about yourself first and thinking and getting yourself to reflect on what you can do that day, what you can't do that day, what you want to do that day, and then hopefully putting those skills that you learn from using this wellness plan into your everyday life always. So it becomes second nature for you to be like, oh, I didn't move today, I should do something like that.
Yeah,
I think for me, like when I looked back, there were certain categories that were really natural for me to fill in like, without a lot of effort or like rearranging of anything. And for me, I think those categories were like move and achieve, just because where I'm at in my recovery, like I have built that into my daily schedule, but other things I could see were like a bit of a stretch for me to fit into my day or like find a good opportunity for me to fit them in. And so I think depending on where you are in your recovery journey, there's kind of like different ways that you could approach using it. And if you're someone who is back at work and is just trying to find ways to keep resting and managing their symptom levels and also take care of their health in all the ways that they can, like it would be useful to try it out for a week, like the way that we did with a wellness plan challenge, to kind of get an idea of what already might be working for you and some areas that you might want to work on.
Sections, like I personally struggle with move. Like I can walk till I'm like blue in the face, love walking, go for a walk all the time. But I don't, like Allie, like the one day you posted a really great story about like the gentle yoga, like on the chair or sitting yoga. I forget exactly what it's called, but you know, just like I walk every day generally, but just maybe you chat about some different of like the moves that people can do.
I think it would be really good if we could kind of walk through each category and we could all share different things that we found helpful and then just kind of share what other things that maybe we have done in the past or that could also be helpful. I think moves, I think with every one of the categories on the list, like they're, we could all probably come up with an immediate like high level goal that would be a good one to put there, like under move, run 5K, under connect, like call every family member, and under achieve, like finish all my readings and like, you know, all the household chores that I was supposed to do today. But the thing with the wellness plan is that, like, it doesn't have to be intense that way. And especially with the move category, like, since we're talking about it, moving your body doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're doing a strenuous exercise. Like, of course we want to meet our physical activity guidelines, but if you're going through brain injury or concussion recovery, that might not be safe or reasonable for you. And there's so many other ways to move your body in ways that are gentle, and also just exercise. Moving your body doesn't always have to be about, like, building muscle and building your cardiovascular capacity. It can also just be to feel good. Like, one of the main ways that I motivate myself to move my body is just for the mental health benefits that I get. Like, it has nothing to do with my physical health. Maybe that's a bad thing, but for me, it's so much more than the long-term health benefits of doing exercise. So yeah, why don't we start with the move category? Sarah, what kind of activities did you use?
So I use a lot of, like, exercise or things that I usually have scheduled throughout my week anyways. But I tried to implement more things like go for a walk, because I find nowadays I'm, like, working all the time and I don't really have time to go for a walk. So I really tried to do that. But I think it's important, Allie, what you were saying too about the move category, that it's not just exercise and that it looks different for everybody, because like, even when you talk about physical activity, it's not just, if, like, you really want to get technical here, like, who, like, doesn't define, like, it has a different for exercise and physical activity, whereas physical activity is literally just moving your body and anything you're doing that's not sitting down. So you could even include things like taking the stairs, or like choosing to take the stairs and taking the elevator, or you're going to clean your room today. Like, that's physical activity. You're go shovel snow. Like, that's physical activity. Those things you could include in the move category. So it's not just the, oh, I'm going to go do a HIIT training. It's more so, did I get up today? Did I do anything I actually moved my body? And that's kind of what we were getting at, I think, with the move category.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
Yeah, when you're looking to do something more strenuous or, like, more organized, like attending a class, or I mean, our options are limited with COVID right now, but there's so many things that you can do around your house that elevate your heart rate and that get your muscles moving that are all really good. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And what Felicia was saying earlier about the chair yoga, like, honestly, it's actually more of a workout than I anticipated before I started. there's a lot that you can do from a seated position, and even gentle yoga options for people with brain injury that you can access through places like Love Your Brain. But even though those things are gentle, doesn't mean that they're not helpful for you and aren't going to improve your health, both mentally and physically.
Agreed.
The next category on the list is connect. So with this one, what we were hoping to inspire is just reminding people that our sense of social connection and sense of belonging are so important for our health. And COVID aside, it's something that can be hard to make time for. So we were just hoping that it would remind people who are using the tool that taking time to reach out to loved ones or seek support in formal or informal ways can be really helpful. And it's important to think of that as a more regular part of maintaining your health.
Yeah, and often during brain injury, you feel isolated, and you know, it's definitely a two-way street. I know you hope people reach out to you and check in how you're doing, but you know, you can definitely also reach out to other, you know, say like, hey, like, how are you, and connect with them, and that helps you. Like, I do that a lot, and just chat with people, and like, and I wish I did that more during my early stages my concussion, when you do feel that isolation. And yeah, so trying to connect with people is a huge thing of the mm-hmm. concussion recovery. So that's yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I found this one actually probably the most difficult to fill out, only because I feel like I was like, what? I know I talked to like my family and stuff. I was like trying to find ways to maybe go above and beyond just speaking with my family. And so I found this one a little bit harder. I think it's like super important, but like I didn't have any Zoom calls set up for the week, and I kind of was like, oh, like how am I gonna find this? Like I did things like I texted my friends and like let them know, like I texted one of my friends that it would be like, hi, like I haven't seen a lot of them in a while, so I'd like message my friend group. And I even did something like I found like this one was maybe like maybe it's a little far-fetched, but I find like even wishing somebody happy birthday, like I don't know why, but I find it really difficult to do that sometimes. And I know it's someone's birthday and I'd be like, oh, it's okay, but like it was someone I haven't talked to in a while and I reached out and said happy birthday. So like that was another thing that I tried to do. But yeah, so those were like the kind of things. But other thing else, like I feel like I tried to have a conversation with my family, like that was a little different than normal, and we tried to talk about different things. I kind of just tried to do things like that, but I definitely found this one more challenging to fill out for sure.
Yeah, I think with Connect, like it's really difficult to have like a real meaningful sort of social connection with someone like during the week, especially if you're working full time. But even just those little things that you did, like wishing someone a happy birthday or like setting up a time to do a Zoom call in the future, those are all little like baby steps that still are like benefiting your overall social well-being, because it's like just maintaining your relationships is something that can be really hard to do when you're busy. And so just doing like little messages like that, they can go a long way. Like I'm the worst texter ever. Felicia will back me up. I don't get a lot out of a text relationship, like, or any sort of like text conversation with people, but texting and staying up to date with people is like a means to an end in terms of like getting something arranged to actually arrange something that is more meaningful to me and does make me feel connected to people that I care about. And it can also just, sometimes it is the only option. We're all seeing that with COVID, but when you're going through brain injury recovery, a lot of the activities that you might normally do with your friends and family might be off the table. And so being adaptable and being creative with reaching out to people in different ways and maybe at different lengths of time, and maybe it's short bursts here and there, but I really like how in the wellness plan, it just kind of makes it a daily reminder for you to somehow build or maintain your social relationships.
Yeah, that was good. You explained that really well, Allie. I like how you explained how it's like, even if it's just a text to set up something, and like that's all it honestly has to be, because I know like a lot of people are busy, and especially when you're in recovery or, you know, early stages, like you feel like you're stuck and everyone's moving around with their lives. But if you even, yeah, set up something when everyone's, you know, not as busy on a weekend or whatever, like that is something that you're doing to continue to be connected. And I think that's a really like good point that you just brought up there. I really like that.
Yeah, I think it's just like, even if you're not exchanging any sort of social like conversation or anything, like sending a message like that, still we still feel a sense of belonging from that. Like we have people in our circle that are here for us that we're reaching out to, and some people don't have that. So I think just making that connection is worth a lot more than we maybe realize.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next one on our list is a really fun one. So that's the enjoy category. So to some people, this might seem like it's irrelevant to health and maybe a little bit frivolous, but Sarah, do you want to talk about why that's a really important part of our daily well-being?
Yeah, so I guess kind of like what I said before, like a lot of times we do things throughout the day and we don't really do anything for us. And I know like everybody really kind of gives all of themselves to other people, but a lot of times, like me included, I'm super guilty of this. I spend my whole day giving to other people, but then when it comes to nighttime, I'm kind of like, I got nothing left for me. So I kind of find like this is one that's kind of whatever you want to enjoy, it's kind of like fluid. Because for me, like, I personally see how like exercise can be included as an enjoy, because I personally, I find exercise is kind of like my escape. Like, that's what I go to do for myself. So it's kind of one of these categories that it can really be whatever you want, and it can fit into every other category. It's just making sure that you find something throughout your day that you do enjoy. So I think I kind of struggled with this one too, just because I do use exercise to enjoy. And that's why I was like, oh, well, what do I put for this? So it doesn't have to be filled out, I guess, to a T every single time. But it can include things like watching a movie or watching Netflix and doing things that you do that you're like, I like doing this and I'm going to do it for me. And that's super important to your health, and because you need to be able to do things for yourself, or because at the end of the day, it's for you, right? So you can't give yourself, or can't give all this energy and things like that you, even too, with a brain injury, like we kind of talked about, like, you might not have as much energy, you might not have as much that you can give. So if you're giving it all to other people, you're leaving yourself with nothing, right? So you want to make sure you're scheduling time for that.
And so it's okay, not a healthy activity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it doesn't have to, it could be watching TV and, right, like, sitting down and doing something, but as long as it's what you like, right?
I think of enjoy as something that, like, truly just brings a big old happy face smile to my face. That made no sense. A big smile to my face. Like during the week, for example, for me, like, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, I just randomly made cookies, like, during the week, you know, just quickly, you know, chocolate chip cookies, why not? Like, I just finished schoolwork and yourself. Or like, even Friday or Saturday, I like hadn't been uptown, like Waterloo, in so long, and I went and grabbed a coffee. And like, you know, just those are like things that I love and haven't been able to do due to COVID in a long time. But even if brain injury, like, there's a lot of things you can't do, so like going out and, you know, putting a nice little outfit on and grabbing a coffee, like, those are things I love to do. And like, making time for that is just, I don't know, so important, and just really made me happy to like do something like that. So yeah.
Right now I'm at a place where the enjoy category is something that I understand really well. Like, I understand that that it's important to do things that make me happy, and that those don't have to be like a healthy lifestyle choice for it to be good for my well-being. And I have some hobbies and maybe some different like practices that I have that I can lean on when I'm feeling kind of down. But if you had asked me to do this kind of activity in the first couple of years after my brain injury, like, I honestly would have been just miserable, because like, I loved studying. I loved going to school. That's what motivated me. I loved playing sports. I loved exercising, and I loved seeing my friends, and none of those were available. So if you would ask me to fill out, to do something every day that brought me joy, I don't know what I would have done. And so it's okay if you're in that place as well, where maybe you don't know what other hobbies you could do that are accessible for you when you're going through recovery, or maybe you haven't really given a lot of thought to other things that bring you joy. So use this day-to-day tool as a way to experiment with things, and just give yourself more space and a daily reminder to think about, well, was there anything today that brought me joy? And if there wasn't, then try to think of something, honestly, anything that does. Because if you go several days without anything that brings you joy, it's not going to be good for your mental health.
That's that, Allie. Good job. The next section on the sheet on our wellness plan is achieve. And this, we kind of touched on it before, but it's important to know, you know, this doesn't have to be textbook reading, or, you know, doing the biggest goal goal that you ever had in mind. It could be something like going for a walk or doing your laundry or getting groceries, because those are achievements in themselves. Like, I know myself, like, the grocery store is the worst place in the world, and like, the lighting is terrible in there. So like, that could be, that is an achieve. Like, you can mix it up with big and large goals if you'd like, but I think it's truly like whatever you see as.
Yeah, for me, one of my daily activities was booking a few appointments that had been sitting on my to-do list for so long, because for whatever reason, I get really anxious about booking appointments, because I have to rearrange everything and I'm tired of making appointments. It literally takes me 30 seconds, but I added that to my achieve, and having it there, it helped me, and I felt good after conquering it. And it probably seems like the smallest, silliest little thing, but to me, that was important to be included on my list.
Mm-hmm. And
that's a good one.
I think too, what's important too is like with the achieve is, if you look to it, you can make it whatever, wherever you are in your recovery as well. So if you're super acute and it's just your injury just happened, like, maybe know that your achieve might not be these great, kind of like what we said with the exercise, it might not be the greatest plan. Like, maybe it's not realistic that you're going to go back and you're going to go read a whole bunch of homework, or you're going to go write this paper really quickly. Like, maybe that isn't realistic. So trying to be, again, like we've been saying, like, being more patient with yourself and kind of knowing that even if you set smaller goals, like maybe making an email, like sending off an email, something so small that, but knowing that even if you do small goals, like, it's still something you've done, and that you're not doing nothing, and that you always have to look at that in a positive light rather than looking at it as a negative and thinking, oh, I should be there here. But just realizing and coming to that understanding is really important, that you aren't the same as you were before your injury. And wherever you are right now is where you are, and you kind of have to work with it and kind of give yourself little goals throughout the day so that you can get back to where you were before.
Something that might seem counterintuitive, but would have been helpful for, I think, both Felicia and I when we were in recovery, was like putting down something underachieved, like rest for 2 hours or like 1 hour, because both of us were really like, we knew that it was good for us, and we did rest as much as we could, but it wasn't natural for us to slow down and not stress about all the things we were missing and all the responsibilities. So like, your achieve could literally be like, work on your recovery, like allow yourself to rest. It doesn't have to be exhaustive or like measurable or productive to be an achieve. Maybe it's even like going to bed early or getting up at a certain time.
I think that's really important what you just said, kind of like how there's two different kind of sides. And that's what I see a lot with my clients, is not that there is two different kind of brain injuries or how people respond, but for what I've been seeing, it's either people slow down completely and stop doing everything and completely just stop, or they don't stop and they go and they go and they go and they keep pushing through their brain injury, and both of the trajectories are making your brain injury worse, right? If you don't do anything and you do nothing for weeks on weeks on weeks, that's not going to do anything for your mental health and your brain. Or if you push past your symptoms and you go and you go and you go, the same thing, you're going to end up in the same spot. So I think it's really important from what you just said, just like trying to find that balance and finding that in between where you need to rest, but also you need to do things, and kind of find where you can work, so that you aren't pushing yourself too much that you're going to get symptoms the next day that you can't do anything, or not doing anything at all, and then still having symptoms because you haven't moved in a day, and you haven't gotten yourself up, and you haven't talked to somebody.
I think it's also, like, I think what both of you guys said is really great, and I think it's also just, you know, important to celebrate the small wins, the big wins, but like the small wins too, like what you think might be small is like a huge, can be considered a huge win. Like, for example, like one of the G's I put down was like my first full day of placement, like a first full day of 8 hours of work, of like leaving the house at 6:30, driving. I haven't driven in like so long also because of COVID, but like driving on the highway and coming home at 4:30. And then like I came home and I wasn't feeling great. And like I was going to be hard on myself and like get back to work. And I was like, you know what? Like, no, like I put that as my cheat. Like that was a great, like I have to take that as like at a celebration and like be like, I just put in my first 8 hours of placement and I haven't worked in a long time. And like, this is exciting. I like take those small wins. Like, well, I think it's small, but it's actually big. But like, you know, and I think that's really important. Just like take every achieve, no matter if it's going to the grocery store, if it's driving for the first time after, like whatever it might be. Like, I think it's important to take them all as big wins.
Yeah. Like when you have a concussion, like any level of brain injury, like it doesn't matter what your previous capacity was. You have to learn, and it's not easy, but you have to learn to look at activities differently and be kind to yourself, because those things are huge. Like it does take an incredible amount of energy and effort and like skills to go and work for 8 hours, especially if you have symptoms. Just showing up, getting through it, and being there at the end of the day to tell the tale, like that's huge. And don't let that inner voice that wants to tell you that it wasn't enough get in the way, because that is a big one. And
I think too, going off of that, and like just like what I've talked about with clients too, is no brain injury is the same. And so you can't compare yourself to other people who, one, don't have a brain injury. So you can't compare yourself to someone else. So say maybe you started, like, please, you start placement with the same, with somebody, and you're thinking, oh, they're doing great, and here I am. Like, you can't compare yourself to other people, and you also can't compare yourself to other people with brain injury, because like I said, everyone's brain injury is different, everyone's symptoms are different, and so it's your brain injury, it's your experience, it's your recovery, and it matters. Those little goals that might not to you, to us, someone else, they might seem super achievable. You know what? They're goals to you, and they're your goals for a reason. So just continuing with that.
I like that. Don't compare yourself to anyone, like brain injury or not. Like that's really important. I like that.
Yeah. All right. So the last category is self-care. So I think for a lot of people, it might look like we just covered four different types of self-care, or maybe the enjoy category kind of felt like self-care. So Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about what's different about self-care, and maybe kind of explain some misconceptions that people might have about what it means to engage in self-care?
Yeah, so I'm in occupational therapy. We use the term self-care a lot, and it's a term that I find I use it to kind of describe anything that someone has to do, but like in like it kind of like gets someone to kind of reflect and rest as well. So for us, when we kind of define self-care on the wellness plan, like it includes everything that you're doing for yourself to kind of just take a step back. And it might not be something you want to do necessarily. Like I know, especially with mental health, things like hygiene, that kind of comes into an issue, and it might not be something you want to do, but you know that you need to do it, and it'll help you for the next day. So that's why showering or taking a bath is on there, because it is important to continue with your hygiene. But sometimes, like I said, that you don't have the motivation to do that. You don't have the energy to do that. So kind of trying to schedule those things as well. It also includes things that you want to do, like kind of just taking a second for yourself and really just doing things like meditating or journaling or practicing mindfulness or putting on a face mask, like really anything that's going to help you kind of just take a second, slow down, and prepare yourself, reflect maybe on your day, or maybe even just like take a breath. And it is different from the other categories, because I always think, like, enjoy is something like you love to do. And even if it's just watching Netflix, and, you know, you might love putting on face masks, but it's going to be something that kind of like, you're like, yes, I can't wait to do this. Whereas self-care is like, no, I need to do this. Like, I need mm-hmm. to journal. I need to take a bath. I need to practice mindfulness. I need to do this tonight because it's going to help me the next day. And that's kind of how I kind of see the distinction between the two.
That was a really good, really well said. Thank you for that. That even like helped me even further differentiate the two. That was really good. Some of the things that I did while I journaled, I find that helps kind of just get some of my thoughts out. But something that I do every single night is I use the Headspace app every night. Like, I truly cannot fall asleep without it. Whether it be like just light noise or like white noise of like a rain, like rain or a thunderstorm or whatever it be. But like, to me, like, that is like my like self-care, because it helps me sleep and like turns my mind off from the 3,000 thoughts that are like running through my mind and like whatever. And I look forward to like putting away everything, turning on my little Headspace app, putting my sleep mask on, and like hitting the pillow. And I know it's kind of, I do that every single night, like, and that's something that I need to do to like have a good sleep. Another thing, actually, I don't know if this is self-care, you can tell me, Sarah, but I actually recently got a weighted blanket. Love it. I sleep every night with it.
I would consider that self-care, 100%.
Oh my goodness. It's like the best thing in the world. I sleep every night with it on, like, and it just like, they're just like two like things that I have to do now, and it just puts my mind at ease and like, yeah. What about you guys?
Yeah, for me, for self-care, like I did feel a little bit unsure whether like what I was putting for self-care was truly like what it was intended for. But for me, like, what, when I think of self-care, it's like what helps to recharge my batteries and sets me up for success the next day. And so the most natural thing for me to do is rest, and that's something that was never easy for me to do at first. And Felicia and I have talked about how different we are in that, where I'm at a point where like I'll just check out when I can't keep going. And it's good, because I need to do that, and I need to slow down and like literally let my brain just relax when my eyes are burning and my head is killing and I've just done way too much in a day. So I check out, but then sometimes like there are things that I need to do. And so something that I'm working on right now is finding a balance between rest and preparing myself for a successful day. And so some days this week, I intentionally set time to like really rest, like took a break from my phone, didn't let myself do anything, like just allowed myself to truly just like be in silence. But then some days when I didn't necessarily need that, but I was feeling a little bit anxious about the day coming, or just feeling like I was having trouble winding down at the end of the day. And so what I did was I took a look at my to-do list for the next couple of days, and I spent some time planning out how I would tackle it. And I found that that was so helpful for me to like feel like I was taking a little bit of control over how anxious I was feeling and setting myself up for a good tomorrow, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that. I think like for me, like my need is a little different now with COVID. I found like before COVID, I was kind of like, you're away from your house more, right? So you don't really need to cook or make lunch. But before COVID, I was always someone who had to have my lunch made before. Every time I went to bed, like I had to have my lunch made. Even if I didn't want to actually make my lunch, I found like it made me so much more inclined to just like have a good day because I had a really good lunch planned and I was just like super excited to go to the hospital or wherever I was going or to go to school. So that was one that I used. And I found like another one that I've been using or that I noticed that I'm like, I need to do is like, if I teach a spin class really early in the morning, I set my clothes out and it's like something that's super lame, but it just like gets me up in the morning because I have to get up at a ridiculous time to teach the class. So I'm like, I always find like setting my clothes out the night before, like, I'm like, I need to do this. And sometimes it's annoying, but I still do it. And it's like something that I know I'm going to set myself up for a good spin class or a good day that day because I did those little things, even if it's kind of like, like maybe I don't want to do it, but I know it's going to give me a better day the next day. So same kind of things, just looks a little different for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are really good too.
Oh, I have everything organized. I have like lunch, water bottle already filled up, nice coffee already ready to go, outfit laid out, everything organized. It's gotta be like that way. Yeah, I can sleep at night and like the way I work, it's weird. But anyways,
is there anything else that we wanted to share about the wellness plan?
I think I have it up right now and I'm looking at it. Like their last little point that it's okay. Like I know we've kind of said this, but just to reiterate the point, like it's okay if your plans change. Or that, like, they could change even in the hour, like you guys were saying, and like you guys have lived through that, you know, your energy level changes, your symptoms come on suddenly, and you have no control over that. So it's okay, like, just kind of, like, giving yourself some room and, like, being understanding with yourself that it's okay if it changes. But as long as the intent is there, that's kind of like the main point because, you know, like there's always tomorrow, like you'll always have another day, but like the fact that you're intentionally trying to do these things, it will benefit you in the long run. But just like knowing that it's okay if your symptoms come on and don't be too hard on yourself.
I think that's so important.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because I think that if you are hard on yourself and you're upset, that it's just kind of like this vicious cycle that could then feed into like more at least I know for myself, like if I'm hard on myself about, you know, oh my gosh, I didn't get all this done today, then it's just this vicious cycle of like putting more pressure on myself. So yeah, like let's say you didn't get your move done today, that's a-okay because I wasn't feeling great, my head was, I usually don't feel great at night. Oh, didn't squeak in my move today. That's okay. You know, like do, you know, extra 20-minute walk tomorrow or don't do it. I don't know. But like, it's not the end of the world. As the intent is there, the goal of the wellness plan is just, you know, to make you more conscious of, you know, trying to, you know, celebrate these wins and just be more aware of that within your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you are like somewhere, you find yourself like in the afternoon when you're supposed to go and do something really taxing, just taking time to learn about like what is something else that I could do that is less energy involving and something that is more manageable for me, because the answer doesn't always have to be this or nothing. And of course, like always listen to what your medical team tells you is within your capacity and what you should do when certain symptoms come on. But I think if you're someone who's new in the recovery journey or working on getting yourself slowly increasing your activity levels throughout the day, just try to really spend some time on exploring like what are different levels of activities that I could do. And so if you come to a certain point during the week where it's not feasible for you to do something, see if you can have a backup that's a little bit more manageable, but that isn't nothing. And it might help to bring you a little bit more joy or more connection or more self-care into your day.
So if you haven't already tried the wellness plan, I really hope that you do. Got some really great feedback and people seem to really enjoy it. And if it doesn't work for you and it's not the tool that, you know, you really enjoy, that's A-okay, but at least you tried. And
yeah, so you can download the tool from our website at www.keepyourheadup.ca/toolkit, and we also have a really active social media account where we often talk about the tools that we offer and just talk about other tips and tricks for people going through recovery. So please feel free to check us out on Instagram and on Facebook at Keep Your Head Up Foundation. Our Instagram handle is at Keep Your Head Up FDN for foundation. So please feel free to check us out, and we love to connect. So reach out anytime.
Thanks for listening. And thanks, Sarah, for joining us.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.